Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
They go to a pistol formation. It goes back to Barkley. Barkley breaks the tackle. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He is at the 25-yard line. He is down at the 25-yard line. Let's see what he has right now as he goes to the 25-yard line. He has just broken the 2,000-yard rushing mark. Saquon Barkley goes into NFL history.
2,000 yards. Saquon Barkley joins a special group of running backs with that run yesterday. What a season. And we'll see come this Sunday if the Eagles give him a chance to go for the all-time rushing record in a single season. 215-592-9049 for the guy that was on that call yesterday and all the calls. Merrill Reese joins us in his weekly spot. Merrill, how you doing this morning?
I am great. What a way to end the meaningful regular season.
Well, it was. And Merrill, it was an interesting game yesterday because, you know, the first, I'd say, 10 minutes of the game, it wasn't going great. I mean, the Eagles had that pick six, which was wonderful, but the Cowboys had two drives down the field. I think the yardage total was like 100-0. And then from then on, a flip switched and the Eagles just dominated this football game.
And that was exactly it, Joe. It was they were almost lethargic at the beginning. And even the defense, I said, boy, it seems like they're taking over from where they left off in Washington. And Mike Quick said to me, you know, you're saying exactly what I'm thinking. But then suddenly there came the pick, and then they put on the switch, and they were just absolutely dynamic.
They were on both sides of the football. Merrill, let's talk about Saquon, then we'll kind of circle back to everything else that happened yesterday and then look forward to the postseason. Merrill, Saquon Barkley, he didn't start off hot, and the passing game was actually more of the driver of the offense in that big second quarter. But by the time the third quarter came, Merrill, and then the fourth, you kind of felt he was wearing down that Cowboys defense and starting to gash them there. What did you make of Saquon, how they handled it, and now moving forward, what do you think happens this coming weekend with him, you know, within striking distance of the record?
Well, what happened was he got there were some opens. He saw the daylight and he went. I mean, he turned the corner one time where anybody would have been stopped almost at the line of scrimmage, and he outran the DB and then just raced down the sideline for about 15 yards. He is an amazing, amazing player. A lot of our listeners are probably not going to like to hear me say this. From a personal standpoint, as a fan, as a broadcaster, I would love to see him break Eric Dickerson's record. Love it. It would be entertaining. Without that to look at, and without the regulars in there, it would be almost like a preseason game. But everything the Eagles have done, going back to the winter, hiring coaches, bringing in coordinators, preparing for the draft, signing free agents, the way they ran training camp, every single thing they did, was based on one thing, winning the Super Bowl. They wanted to do every single thing they did to be in position to win the Super Bowl. And I want to tell you something. There is too much of a risk in playing the starters because you can't just play Saquon Barkley. You've got to put the offensive line in there, and then you've got to bring in the wide receivers to take the pressure off of the running game. You can't do that, in my opinion, because any one of these guys who gets hurt could make a big difference. Everybody has a vital role. You need this team at its absolute strongest going into the playoffs, and I believe there is too much of a risk I wouldn't put any starter out there.
So, Merrill, they may agree with you. I do think this becomes a complicated decision for Nick Sirianni. Merrill, how do you think the decision-making goes this week? Because, you know, Sirianni's a player's coach, and we heard after the game, we played a lot of them talking about after already, Jordan Mailata was probably the strongest, that they want to go for this. They want it. And of course they do. They're players, and they want their teammate to get something special. They're part of it. Merrill, do you think this becomes a Nick Sirianni thing? Do you think this is an organizational decision? Because it's not an easy one for a coach when the players say, hey, let's try for this.
Yes, but the players don't always know what is best for them. I know that their emotion is there. They would like to be a part of history. That's all well and good. But then you have to go to the coach and you have to go to the organization. You have to have everybody talk about it. I don't think it's a difficult decision. I really don't. I mean, it'd be wonderful to do that. But you know what? In another year or two, you're going to have 18 games and somebody is going to come along and outgame that record. So it's tremendous that he became the ninth player to pass that 2,000-yard mark, and he's up there with Adrian Peterson and Jamal Lewis and Barry Sanders and Derrick Henry and Terrell Davis and Chris Johnson and, of course, Eric Dickerson and O.J. Simpson. To be in that list of elite running backs historically is a tremendous, tremendous achievement. But at this point, the Super Bowl is the goal. That comes first. I don't think it's a tough decision.
Merrill Reese with us here as we discuss the Eagles winning the East and, of course, the Saquon Barkley dilemma coming up this Sunday. Merrill, how about the other aspects of the game yesterday, including the quarterback play? You know, going into the game, you know, when you don't have your starter, you never know. But the Eagles, over the years, as you've seen and called all these games, Merrill, have been blessed with a lot of good games out of backup quarterbacks. And they got a pair of them yesterday because I thought they both played well. Obviously, Pickett for more of it. Merrill, what'd you make of the quarterbacks and mostly Pickett, who I thought after that those first couple series really got rolling there?
Well, he did, and I thought he was courageous to begin with because those ribs were not healthy. I mean, he had to be feeling certain that amount of discomfort. But he went out there and he played tough, and he threw some great passes, particularly to Devontae Smith. But he was tough, and he did what he had to do, and he threw that deep sideline pass to Grant Calcaterra. So I think he did a great job. And then, of course, we saw what Tanner McKee did, and that was impressive. But let me tell you something. That position goes pretty deep. But to go where you want to go, number one has to come back. And I hope that soon. And even if he's healthy this week, I don't buy the fact that, well, he missed most of the Washington game. And he'll miss this week. And how's he going to get sharp? He's sharp enough. He'll practice before the playoff game. And he'll be Jalen Hurts. He'll be ready to go.
Yeah, and an extra week could be good for him and his concussion symptoms to get all better before that playoff game.
You know, think of one other thing, Joe, and I think this is important. The bye came all the way back at the beginning of October.
Mm-hmm.
That means from week six on, this team has played every single week. They're bruised. They're battered. They're all hurt in different ways. They may look spry out there on the field, but every one of them has some kind of injury, something bothering them. These starters need a week off to recover and to go into the playoffs at 100% full strength.
Well, and they could create that this week if they choose to with this game against the Giants. Merrill, let's look forward because the next time we see everyone play will be a couple weekends from now. I'm not sure if it'll be Saturday or Sunday, but they'll play one of those days. I don't think it'll be Monday, but one of the 3 days of Wild Card weekend. They will host the game as the 2 seed. And Merrill, we know it's one of two teams. It's either going to be the Commanders or the Packers. Merrill, both are very interesting potential matchups for a first-round game.
They are. And they're two very, very good teams. You know, pick your poison, as they say. But I think the Eagles are capable of beating either one of them.
Well, they have. And they beat them both this year. They beat Green Bay in Brazil, and they beat the Commanders in early November. Almost beat them again last week. Merrill, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you on Sunday before the game.
Thank you, Joe. And hi, Hugh. How are you?
Hey, Merrill. I just kind of let y'all go, man. I just like to hear what's
okay.
Going on.
I'm not used to hearing you quiet.
This is probably the only time I'm quiet.
This is his bye week. Yeah,
that's about it. Well, you guys have a wonderful New Year.
You too, Merrill. We'll talk to you soon. There he goes, Merrill Reese. There. So Merrill's strong in his opinion.
No, he is.
Sit the starter.
You know,
Saquon.
I respect Merrill. Tremendous amount of respect. But, man, I understand the history part and being, you know, need the rest. But, man, everybody banged up around this time of year. And you're playing on sheer willpower at this point.
Let him play.
Man.
Let him play, Hugh.
I'm with it.
I know.
You know, I'm with it. I'm with it. Because you'll never walk this road again. Like, that's a fact. And it's the same with the Super Bowl. And we take chances every time we go out there as a player because everybody's banged up. There's not a person on that team that right now, if I asked them, are you hurt? They'd be like, yeah, but I'm functional. It's the difference between being hurt and being functional.
So Merrill didn't think this is going to be a challenging decision for Nick Sirianni. Now, ultimately, Sirianni may go down the path Merrill suggested. I mean, he may sit and not let him play. I do think this is a challenging decision for Nick Sirianni because it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Like, if you're the head coach and, you know, you realize what Merrill's saying and what a lot of people are saying, mm-hmm. he could get hurt. You haven't had a bye since week five. Like, this is your opportunity to kind of rest. That's one end of the spectrum. And let's not forget, Hugh, last year in what was pretty much a meaningless week 18 game where the Eagles were almost assuredly going to be a wild card, not win the division last year. Remember, they played their starters to start that game against the Giants last year, and A.J. Brown got hurt. So, like, that could be in the back of Sirianni's mind. But at the same time, this season changed when the O-line came to him and said, let's run the football. Like, how could he now say that? He's a player's coach. And if they want to play, man, if I'm Sirianni, Hugh, I can't say no to those guys. I can't. It would just be hard for me to say, yeah, I hear you, but we're not doing it.
I know everybody wants to talk about last year and how AJ got hurt in a meaningless game.
Well, it's
got to
be in the back of the coach's mind.
I mean, it is, but that I think those circumstances were different. There was a little bit tumultuous time going on during that. AJ ran in the stands and gave his jersey to some old random-ass dude that he threw the football to get
Tanner McKee's ball
yeah, back. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. It's different. I understand that everybody's a little bit of a snowflake in this situation. They're a little nervous about being hurt. Man, you get hurt. And you can get hurt all the time out there playing. I understand that everybody's like, well, it's the last game and they need some rest. Those cats want to go for this. And if they want to go for it, man, then let them go for it. You will never, ever, 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 ever in life be this close. And I understand that everybody's talking about, well, you know, somebody's going to break the record next year. This record has stood for 40 freaking years.
I think there's a real chance it never gets broken again.
This is a 40 freaking year in an era. In an age, think about this for a minute, people, that everybody say don't play. In an era where just 2 years ago, we were talking about running backs don't even matter. Running backs couldn't even get a job before. Mm. Now you're talking about a situation where you have a running back who has resurrected his career. A few years ago, they didn't even want to pay him.
Well, here's what you need for this record to ever get broken in. You need a combination of health for a running back, which is not often, right?
And you need carries.
You need carries. You need a great offensive line. You probably need a good team where you're up in games to run the football. Like, there's a lot of great backs. Every era has great backs. But it took 40 years for someone to really have a chance at this one. I think there's – I know Merrill's
just
point is they might go to 18
got
games.
Bijan Robinson, Kyle's back and running behind this offensive line.
Well, he's good too. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But you have to have a perfect storm.
Well,
this is a perfect storm.
It is. Well, and he's at the stage of his career where he's probably that combination of smart and health. Like, it's just – it may never happen again.
Yeah, and like think about even with the 17 games, it's an outlier that he's even in this position right now. He had to break a few 250-yard games.
Yep.
Like, this is – just because the fact that he was in some situations where he's hitting so many home runs with his runs.
And he's playing behind the best O-line in the sport.
Right. So, like, I agree with you. I think it's super rare that this will, like, even come close to being in this situation again. And then I don't think the game is meaningless. Like, I think this is meaningful to the team to break this record. It's not just not the same situation with A.J. Brown getting injured last season. Like, the team can go get the NFL rushing record. And I brought this up the last time we talked about it. We might not win the Super Bowl anyway. And, like, I hate to be that guy, but this is Philly, and we don't win a lot here. A lot of our favorite teams, a lot of our favorite moments.
Not a good argument.
Well, no, it's a great argument. Like, think about our favorite, like... It's not, no, Hugh, like your Eagles teams were the most beloved
saying.
In the city. You guys didn't win a Super Bowl. Allen Iverson
saying.
In 2001. It's like one of the best years that Sixers fans have had in
Roy
forever.
Holiday, 2010.
Of course, right. Like, I mean, there are moments where you can like look back on fondly and not have a title.
Yeah, it's a lot that's not guaranteed. And when you look at it like this, say, you know, since I'm, you know, the betting guy on the show, the guru, the betting guru.
Excuse
I look
me?
At it like this. We ain't got to talk about it. I'm just saying, you know.
What's that account at?
I hit an eight-leg parlay.
That was an
They're cheering you, Douglas, in Philly.
You're broke now. Go ahead.
I am broke now. But it's one of those things where you're closer to realizing this than, let's be honest, than winning the Super Bowl right now. And again, I feel like when you talk about injuries, if you're worried about injuries, go talk to the Detroit Lions, who are, by the way, 13-2 and have been without most of their starters the whole season. If you're a good coach and if we think that Coach Sirianni is that, then you figure out ways to coach through. They're not saying that Saquon's getting hurt. Don't get me wrong. Now, I don't want nobody here thinking that knocking on wood thinking I want Saquon to be hurt. That's not the case. What I'm saying is this. Every time you go out there and play, you run a risk of that. And when you do, just like we got Kenny Two Gloves hurt yesterday, and then we got Tanner McKee coming in there, him doing his thing. You got to coach around certain things that you cannot quantify in the course of a game. So I just think you should go out there. You gave the man 31 touches yesterday, and now he's 101 yards away from breaking the record. Let that man finish this out.
You have to. Also, if I'm Sirianni, I don't make the decision on my own. I got to talk to the team. I got to gauge their what they really want, what the offensive lineman, what Stoutland really want. If they want to go for it, I can't just put my foot down and say no. Like, and if the opposite happens and they all say to him, hey, we could use a rest. Hey, we're good. Then that's different. Then maybe that's what the whole team feels. You gotta kind of manage the team there. But if they want this, and I think they do, I let them go for it. Doug's up on WIP. Hey, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Doug?
Yeah, so perfect timing for this call because I'm actually driving right past Giant Stadium here, and it smells bad in this area. And I can't think of a better time for Saquon to break this record than against his old team. All-time great moment for the Eagles. Great TV. He's earned it. I think we should play him. I fully understand that injuries are a possibility. Just like you said, they're a possibility all the time, every game. This is an all-time moment for the Eagles. I just would love to see him get this record.
I'm glad you said that. It is an all-time moment for the Eagles franchise. I mean, it's one of the great seasons anyone's ever had here, and they've obviously had some great players. And, Doug, I think it matters. It's against the Giants. I know it. Like they stink, but if they were playing the Colts or the Titans on Sunday, it doesn't have the same like cachet. It doesn't have the same feeling. He gets to do it against the team. Not only Doug that he played for, but that we all watched the Hard Knocks thing where their GM basically like said, whatever, it doesn't matter if
yeah,
he leaves. And now he's going to break the record against him. It matters.
I think the best thing that they could do is get a YouTube channel going with their GM and head coach and that front office, just watching them have to watch this game. I would love to see that. There's just a real reaction of who they let go. Saquon's a great guy, great teammate. And, again, I think he deserves it. This is an all-time team award as well. It's like the old saying, take the bird in hand except for two in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
This is in front of us. There's no guarantee that we get to the Super Bowl and we win a Super Bowl. But this is pretty obtainable, and this is one of those things we're going to be talking about for decades to come.
We are. Good phone call, Doug. And, Hugh, you mentioned it we started off. He's in striking distance. If he was still – let's just throw a number. If he was still 200 yards away, feels pretty – unlikely, right? Like that's a lot, and it's almost like, is it really even worth trying? Because you know the odds of getting to 200 are so slim anyway. But he's at 101, and he gets to face a terrible run defense. I think they can get there in a half, maybe the beginning of the third quarter. I don't think this would take four full quarters to get there.
No, it shouldn't. I mean, if you play it right, it shouldn't take that long to get there. But it's one of those things where I think people are looking at it and they're looking at this team being possibly a little bit banged up and they're being a little nervous. They're being like what you call plant-based.
Yeah, I don't even think they are banged up right now, are they? I think I think people are afraid of the idea of them getting hurt in this game.
Yeah. You know, it's the Giants, but you can't worry about that, man. You get hurt any time you play. And this team has shown some pretty good resilience over the last couple weeks. You know, when you talk about things that have happened to them, I don't think you should worry about that. Especially if it's one of those things where the players aren't worried about that.
Also, you can strategically – I mean, look, they're going to sit some starters on Sunday, obviously. Not every one of the guys that played yesterday are going to play this coming Sunday. There's no reason for that. But you could strategically sit different players. Like, dude, Jalen Carter doesn't have to play in this game on Sunday. Zach Bond doesn't have to play. Quinyon Mitchell doesn't have to play. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who got banked up again yesterday after his two picks, doesn't have to play.
He stole one of them picks from there. From
oh, he stole it right from. You see Quinyon's reaction, like, oh.
He played it off well.
No,
though.
But he was a little disappointed.
He was like, damn.
It was going right to him.
Yeah, it was coming right to him, and CJ undercut.
It's wild. That was wild. Poor Quinyon's just not getting one this year.
He can't get one this year.
Maybe he's saving it for the playoffs. Seth in media. What's up, Seth?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Seth?
All right, so I got a few things that I need to say or need to pop off with. First of all, let me put all of these softies out there. Cue the Mr. Softie song. Let me put all these people out there to bed right now with this. You need to rest him. You need all this stuff. We are so close right now. And this 16-game BS that I keep hearing because, you know, Saquon's doing it in 17 games. All right, Eric Dickerson had 404 carries to get to 2105. Saquon Barkley's only had 345 carries, and he's already only 101 yards away. He's getting 4.2 yards a carry. I mean, how many does that get? What's he need, a little bit over 20 carries to possibly obtain this?
Yeah, if we go by his season average, I think it would take him like 17 or whatever to get here.
That is bananas to not try and go for. You live in a world of crybabies and softies. If you think, you know what it is? You just don't want it bad enough. This is not just, and I agree with everybody that's been saying, this is not just a huge deal for, you know, the offensive line or for Saquon. This is the whole team, right? Because the defense also has to keep their defense gassed by getting the other team's offense off the field so quickly. You know, Saquon's hard enough to stop with rest. These defenses are coming out, and they're gassed because our defense has been playing top-notch, right? So this is a whole team thing. And this is the last caller, the bird in hand is worth 200, but he's absolutely right. This is obtainable. This is right in front of us. And if anything is going to give this team, these are professionals. These guys have been playing for a long time. They know what's at stake with the Super Bowl, but they're banged up, like Hugh was saying. If anything is going to give them a shot in the arm, what better thing to do that than to all of them go down in the record books as the team that helped Saquon Barkley break the all-time rushing record? I mean, I can't fathom not going for it, and anybody that says otherwise is a softie. You want to have a dynasty team. You want to talk about a team that's going to be great for years and win it. This is what great teams do. They're not afraid. Doug Peterson wasn't afraid when he coached in the Super Bowl and went for it on fourth and one, when they ran that play. The whole game he coached unafraid. And that's what you do. You got to play unafraid. You coach unafraid. Go get that damn record.
Let's go, Seth.
Go get it.
Well said. I just go back to this. I mean, the greatest winners in the NFL over the last ever, really, are Belichick and Brady, right? Mm-hmm. All they did is win. All they did is go to the Super Bowl. And they had an opportunity in 2007. They were 15-0. They had everything locked up. They had nothing to play for except history in the final game. You know what they did, Hugh? They went for history. They got Randy Moss' touchdown record. They got Brady the touchdown record. And they won the game. Now, I know they didn't win that Super Bowl. They lost 6 weeks later. But did they lose because they played week 17?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. They lost because they had a bad day 5 weeks later, whatever it was. They went for history, and the Eagles can do the same thing on Sunday. And I actually think they could do it in a half. Like, this doesn't have to be a four-quarter game. This is not about a win or a loss where you got to finish it. Just get them the record, get the guys off the field, and complete this season. 215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls. On the other side here, we'll let you hear from inside the locker room following the Eagles clinching the NFC East and a few more Eagles players on if they want this record for Saquon Barkley. We have a show movement today. When was the last time we all agreed on something?
It's been a long time, man.
We're not yelling at each other today. We're yelling softies out there. That
you know what? Shut up.
215-592.
We have been off for like a week, though. We didn't probably got a little...
We're rusty?
Yeah, a little rusty. We got to shake the rust
off.
Well,
we'll yell about some other things before the show is over. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.